Australia overnight. Now, are you unexpectedly back in the dating scene in midlife? Middle-age online dating is hard work, and Dr. Rachel Matthews, author of Never Look Desperate, says middle-age dating is like a job interview and it's like a career change. Now, it's a job you might decline, but you still want to be offered this job. Here to explain more, here she is, university lecturer and author of Never Look Desperate, Dr. Rachel Matthews. Hi there, Rachel.
Oh, hi, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Thanks for being here. So I like that line about it. You may not accept the job, but you want to be offered it. You know, you want to go on the date. You want to be, you know, appealing, but you might not take the offer. Tell me more about this book and what you're thinking.
Yeah. So, look, you know, I think in the end, we're all the same. I think that need to connect is a lifelong, it's human basic need, really. And I think if you're having to go back out and date again after, say, the end of a long marriage or relationship, it can be a really confronting time because all of a sudden you feel like, here I am, what have I got to offer? And it just made me think about what happens when we apply for a job and, yes. You know, we sometimes we want the offer, but we might not, you know, we want to be wanted in a way because that's our ego and that's our self-esteem.
Yes, of course, Yeah,
and for a lot of people, it's they say it's like starting again. It's sort of like a new beginning.
Yeah, well, as you say, after a long-term relationship or a marriage, you know, decades often, you need to get back on the dating scene. It's a jolt to your system. It's like a job interview. Most people cope okay, or how do they sort of navigate all that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll be really open, you know, about after a 15-year relationship, I suddenly was, what do they call it, back on the market. I hate that term. It sounds like a sort of a sales yard, you know, like you're out with the sheep.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, and do we have to be back on the market, sort of jump at the, you know, sort of, mate, you know, we're just, we're single living life.
Yeah, and I started to speak to a lot of people, especially during those difficult lockdown times where I think, being single was even harder because dating itself became even more isolated and restricted. And, you know, so a lot of people that I've spoken to, different ages, a lot of people in midlife end up because dating and relationships don't stop. You know, it's part of our lifelong experience of being human. A lot of people really shared the same things. You know, I just don't know where to start, you know. I don't even remember being on a date. Yeah. Some people had never been on a date.
No,
they got married quite young.
Well, yeah, I never really went on sort of an official date. I guess I went out a little bit and then so we're in similar situations without getting all whatever, but I was also found myself single again and I guess dating and on that scene. So that book that you've written, Never Look Desperate, is there some real life experience in there? You talk about your experience.
Somebody said to me, is this a dating revenge book? And I said, that would be really wrong.
Yeah.
That would be wrong.
No,
but
that's right.
I will say, you know, when as a fiction writer, of course, and any listeners out there who write stories or write life stories, you know, I mean, we're always being influenced by our own experiences. And I do have some scenes in there that are dates. They're dating scenarios that people will probably relate to, where there's that nervous kind of apprehension before you get there, and everyone's constructed their own version of themselves on these apps, and it's really
in the apps?
Fascinates me in the apps.
Yeah,
you know, the Tinder, the Bumble,
I do. Yeah,
and
right.
That whole thing, you know, like friends and I've spoken to male friends and female friends and friends I have in the queer community and so on that talk about, you know, that it's like a persona. It doesn't feel real. And people often use the same sort of phrasing, you know, like someone might say, I love walks on the beach and I love markets.
Yeah.
And you kind of look at them and think, I don't think so.
No. You know what? I think it's all because it's, and it's rushed as well, I guess, because you're setting up an account, you're just getting a photo, you're typing some cliches on there.
Yeah.
It's taking
and
away.
It's hard.
Yeah. Is it taking away the natural way of meeting somebody and the whole process when you get onto these apps and try to shortcut the reality of it all?
I think that's a really good question, Pat, because I think a lot of people long for those nights in a pub, you know, that I mean, I remember I grew up in the country, and I just remember that fun of that bumping into somebody while you're dancing to a Madonna song, you know, and writing your name on a coaster. I mean, I remember doing that. I think one night with lipstick.
And then hoping if they ring you back, and then going out a few times and not knowing if you like each other, and that whole sort of process. There's something special happening in the process when you remove that. That's right.
And I think, you know, people say that once they get used to the dating, especially in older life, you know, they find ways to just be a bit more aware or a bit savvy of what to avoid. So, for example, you know, people start to see similar kinds of profiles that maybe feel a bit prescriptive, you know. And I think what fascinates me is that if you meet someone in real life, and I've met some really wonderful people from all walks of life and had amazing conversations that didn't go anywhere, but they were just, it was just really lovely to sit down and listen to somebody talk about their life, beginning again. And I have to say too that I think I really feel for men going through this experience, because there's a lot of isolation. Men don't seem to have the same networks that that women have. We have a lot of friendships that we can reach out to, but it's really tough on men. They don't seem to have that.
Yeah, well, thanks for saying that, Rachel, because I have noticed that too, and I've heard other people say a similar thing when it comes to meeting. Men don't have the networks, or for some reason they're just happier to sit at home and not sort of make the effort for whatever reason. They don't have the courage mostly. Yeah. I'm making an assumption there. 131873, are you a man or a woman finding yourself at midlife back on the dating scene? Give us a call if you want to share. We'd love to hear your story. 131873. And Dr. Rachel Matthews is on the line, the author of Never Look Desperate, as we talk about dating in midlife. Now, we're a bit critical of those tools, the apps and things, Rachel, but it's there, and maybe, you know, some people have harnessed that technology and met people that they would never have met before the apps. You know, it's sort of absolutely matching somebody in Melbourne who, you know, could be somebody in an outer suburb that you would never meet.
Absolutely.
And they're a good, they're a good match, and that works.
That's exactly right. And I was, that's a really good point, Pat. And for a lot of people as well, where mobility is an issue, people who might have a disability that they have to manage, people who have young children and can't get out, you know, they say that these apps are a lifeline in a lot of ways. I just think we have to just educate ourselves a bit with them. And like, for example, you know, two of the characters in my novel who meet on Bumble, on the Bumble app,
right,
you know, both of them have had these experiences of, they start to be able to pick up and become a bit savvy with the types of messages they get, and start to look for that sincerity. My favourite profile that I ever read was from a man who wrote, "I'm really overweight and unattractive, but I'll make you laugh."
Nice.
That was his profile, and I thought that was gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, that's right. You know, they say, you know, and this is the thing about the apps, you know, it's all about photos and what you look like, but it really is not that, is it? You know, you can be, you know, humans just connect to humans, and if you have charisma, it works.
I think we're absolutely all the same. And the title of my book, Never Look Desperate, is really meant to be ironic, because what I'm actually saying in this book is that I think we all need to just be ourselves. Because in that vulnerability and that real kind of human experience, that's when we really connect with each other. And so, you know, when we go on dates, I think it's good, you know, I've been on dates where people have said, "I'm really nervous." And I'll say, "Look, I'm really nervous too." And then all of a sudden you relax and you realise that we all want the same things and that we're all vulnerable in a lot of ways.
So did you adapt quickly to the new dating scene after the relationship, or was it a bit of a rocky road?
I don't think it was quick at all. I think I remember feeling a bit on guard and very, you know, self-protective, and I'm sure, you know, others feeling this way also. And also, like a job interview. Mm. I feel as like, you know, when you go on a date, that you've got to have your all your one-liners ready, and you
So you've got to sound interesting.
It's like a performance.
I know.
You know.
Oh.
Yeah, it's quite exhausting.
I sweat. I'm a bit of a sweater. I reckon I'll be sitting there and I'll get nervous and I'll get all sweaty.
You have to take a hanky.
Yeah. Did you have any dates with blokes like that, sitting there sort of dabbing the forehead?
I did have, I've had experiences, and I don't want to sound, I'm not being critical when I say this. It's more with compassion. But, you know, I had this, you know, one guy sort of, you know, dropped all his meal all over the floor in the restaurant, and because it feels like you have a limited time to show your best self, and that's exhausting. And I guess what I'm trying to say in the book also with my three characters is that it's okay for us not to fit these ridiculous ideals that we see online, this Kardashian kind of false ideas of what beauty is, these ridiculous ideas of what masculinity is, and that you have to, you know, you have to look like a gym guy to be of worth. And we've got to call this stuff out. It's absolute garbage.
Yeah, well,
you know, we're all the same. We all have the same needs and wants.
Yes, yes. I want to hear more about those three characters, but I've just written down here also, when you're single, is it handy to put it out of your mind, Rachel? I find that what I mean by that is, okay, so you're dating, you're looking for someone to match with, but then you're going to the supermarket and you're going everywhere and you sort of might be looking desperate. I know they're told, you know, never look desperate. Is it best to put it, or that old cliche, which is not a cliche in a way, it is a cliche, but it's got some truth to it, that you need to reform yourself first. You know, you really just get happy within yourself, and then you'll become a magnet and somebody will be drawn to you, as opposed to always looking outside yourself.
I think, and that's another good point. I think there's a lot of truth in that, whether there's, you know, listeners who've moved into, you know, meditation or into yoga or, you know, that sort of self-help part of their lives. I think when you really know yourself, and this is what my characters go through as well, but when you think the more you're in touch with who you really are, I think the more you're open to really connecting with another person.
Yeah.
And I think what happens in long-term relationships, I know myself too, that we lose ourselves. We're so busy with children and work and lives. We become another, a part of a, we're
so
a
true.
Half of a team.
Mm, mm.
And we forget who we are. And so that I suppose that can actually be one of the liberating parts of being single again, is that you actually, you remember who you are.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's important for all of us.
Mm. I'm going through that. Yeah, you're sort of revisiting who you were, remembering who you were, you know, even when I started in radio and just sort of trying to make my way. I'm sort of getting flashes of that again. But I worry about sometimes saying that, because it is a rough road, you know. When I say worry, you don't want to encourage people to just, you know, it isn't all roses, but there is some light at the end of the tunnel, but it is a pretty tough road when you bust up after a long relationship.
It's really tough because there's a grief, and then there are a lot of, you know, mixed feelings about what's ahead, because there's an unknown. And that's another thing, I think, when in a longer term relationship, is that you have a sense of, well, sometimes you don't even think about the future very much because you imagine it's always going to be the same.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden everything's tipped upside down.
Mm.
It's also, a lot of people say, though, that once they move through the grief of that, they actually realise that it's an opportunity, you know.
Yes.
And I've met amazing people, and I've had experiences that I never imagined. You know, I mean, you know, some of them more positive.
Yeah,
you know,
course, yeah.
And the less positive ones are all in my book. Not really. No, that would be wrong. But, you know, it's an opportunity to try new things, to meet new people, to go to new places. And it's really interesting. Apparently, the biggest kind of collective of travelers around the world are women 50 and up, single women 50
right,
and up.
Right, where they say it's time to travel. Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking that too now. Everything you say, I'm like, I'm thinking that. But, yeah, time to travel. I've always worked. I'm in my 50s. Now it's time to go and see different parts of the world. I mean, people do it younger now. They do gap years and things, but I didn't do any of that. I just went to work.
Yeah.
So there you are. Yeah, and I can relate to that. Now, I mentioned your book and those three characters, but we're out of time, so I think our listeners need to get your book and find out who those three characters are and learn more about Never Look Desperate. So do we get online and go to our bookstore and we just sort of Google Rachel Matthews and Never Look Desperate and that's how we find it?
Yeah, thank you, Pat. Yeah, so if you Google Never Look Desperate, and also I know it's in a lot of the big bookstores like Dimmicks and Collins, and also if you go to my website, I'd actually love to hear from you with like to share some of your experiences.
Yeah.
I'm setting up a blog there, so my website is rachelmatthewsauthor.com, and that's Matthews with double T.
Right.
And I would love to hear from the listeners because I think the more we share these experiences also, the more we can sort of support each other through them.
Yes. Rachel Matthews with a double T .com. Yeah, is that right? There's no AU.
No, that's right, .com.
Yeah. So I just want to get that right, so I'm jotting that down as well. I'll check it out. And our listeners too, Rachel will join us on the phone as we do some talk back on Australia Overnight, 131-873. Wonderful to have you on the show, Rachel. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thanks, Pat. I really love the chat. I'd love to chat again.